Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life, freedom to be tobacco free.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 1.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's show and study. Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 2, to the Church. On Battle Lines tonight, on the WIBR Warn Radio. In Revelation, the Alpha and Omega, the Almighty tells John the first order is to send letters to the seven churches. Amazing as this is, it details the focus of the prophetic order. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 25th day of October, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 37. And Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through chapter 7, verse 29. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. By going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and GetHealthyYoungLiving.com, you can listen to their latest radio programs and Bible studies and also read the latest posts by the Watchman. The featured posts tonight or this week are Action Prophecy Shaking Nations, The Shaking of Nations, Men and Nations with Their Own Agenda. From a movement of rebellion to seduce the world, it is the Action Prophecy Shaking Nations, which will be the final word on all things. Prophecy, America and the Nations, on whom do you call? Abraham Lincoln, during the dark days of the Civil War, the president had heard someone asking if the Lord was on the side of the North. It was to this that he gave these words that hit to the heart of the matter. I am not at all concerned about that, for I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. It is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the featured radio programs and read the featured posts by the Watchman. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And tonight, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 2, to the Church. Each and every one of the seven listed represent a detailed portion of the perfect completion and plan of God. However, It not only details prophecy, knowledge, and judgment. It reveals who is looking at these churches and why. It is judgment that reveals these things, and John must make sure the message is clear and to the point. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great. Thank the Lord. It's wonderful. The weather's wonderful. God is good and he's on the throne and in control of things.
We are here on a Thursday. And You know, the week goes by fast.
It sure does.
Towards the end of the month, it's, you know, this month's going to be over.
Next week. That's hard to believe. In a week.
Yeah. Then we'll be in November and Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then the New Year. And then we'll be in January, February. And by March, it'll be spring.
Good.
So we're already through the winter.
That's okay with me.
So at any rate, the liberals didn't disappoint. They're all blaming Trump. Hollywood is blaming him. It just absolutely astounds me. Hollywood, for all the sins that they're responsible for, and all the lies that they peddle themselves, how they can blame one guy for everything.
Oh, I know. It's incredible.
You know, when I was raised and you were raised, the people that were righteous and in the churches said that Hollywood was full of just pimps and whores.
Yep.
Well, you can add one other to the list today, liars. But the thing of it is that it's too bad.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, Obama romanced them and in the process did away with our rights while they celebrated it. Hollywood didn't at all have a problem with Christians losing their businesses under the Obama administration, nor when Holder failed to hold the order of law the way he should have, especially during the election. So, no doubt, you know, Hollywood is one way. And I did find one Democrat today that came out and said it's not just Trump. Both sides have gotten too bad.
About mouthing off at each other, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing of it is that we had all these bombs. Now they're all blaming Trump for that. And, you know, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Whenever you think there's a coincidence, you can forget it. It's never a coincidence. So now we're going to have the election. And the Democrats are for open borders. And the Democrats desperately want to make up any difference, you know, in order to take the House back. And the Senate. So what we have then in all of this is a whole caravan of illegals that suddenly are going to show up right about voting time. We had these bomb packages sent out right about voting time. That's not a coincidence. And while we don't really have anybody responsible for it, it sure does look like something more than a coincidence, like it was planned.
Yeah.
And in the world of George Soros and the liberals, including the Hollywood liberals, there is no such thing as coincidence because there's money, there's power, and there's contacts. And they create things to happen. And, of course, that article you were talking about CBN investigating who's in there.
Who's in the caravan, yeah.
You know, yesterday I was reading about the Guatemalan president, I think that's who it was, that was calling for America to help find the culprits so they could prosecute them. And they did have a bunch that turned around and went home. But, you know, the thing of it is that if people want to come up here, they need to come up legally, not illegally, not led by some moronic liberal left-wing socialist political hack from, you know, Argentina, Venezuela, or wherever they're from.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, screw that. But this is where we're at today. You know, and the fact that none of the bombs, they were all fake bombs, phony bombs, nothing went off. And And, of course, old Waters, you know, she and her big mouth didn't let down. She came out and said, I'm not afraid. No, of course you're not. You're too old and dumb to be afraid. And stubborn and prideful. You know? And it's too bad that when you get that old and that senile and that crabby and that prideful and that hateful, that you actually find people in America that love what you say, so they encourage you and follow you around like a bunch of puppies that's never been fed before. Of course, she doesn't draw, according to some of the stuff I've seen, the biggest crowds when she's spouting off, but it doesn't have to be. It's just like when you were talking about that big thing that was going to happen with those witches. I understood that it was going to be a big thing. You had said it was.
I understood it was going to be a big coliseum.
But it was just a bookstore.
Yeah, and only 60 or 70 people could fit.
Now, see, the thing of it is, folks, on the internet, anybody can get on there and make something small into something great big. And then it gets caught up in this stupid, you know, social bull. And they become a hit. Or it becomes well known and a threat and people write about it when they shouldn't be writing about it. You know, give me the old days when we had editors that had some morality.
And sense about them.
And papers that wouldn't just take the first bunch of nonsense that they were told, but they investigated. Today, we're liable to find anything written about anybody for any reason with no proof. We can convict them and the whole nine yards. And, you know, the bottom line of it is, for all you Hollywood hacks and all you liberal hacks, which they don't listen to me anyway. That isn't what this is. But at any rate, you know, Trump spoke the language of the common people. He said things they wanted to hear because they had had enough of Obama's lies and his bunch of knuckleheads that were embedded, that were designed to bring in open borders, swamp America with third world immigrants who didn't appreciate our way of life and who were willing, you know, to vote in Democrats all the time. I mean, I said this years and years and years ago, and then I read Pat Buchanan's article, and he said the very same thing, and he wrote that this week. You know, and so you really get into this whole nonsense here, and you begin to look and see, you know, there's nothing about Trump that said he was going to get along with you people. He said he was going to drain the swamp because you were a problem and you didn't like it. So right from the front, you had people like Kathy Griffin hold up a bloody beheaded image of a Trump head. And that wasn't all. You were vicious. You were hateful. And then when you begin to get it back from the president and others, then you cry wolf and blame Trump for everything. You people are a bunch of the biggest, fattest hypocrites I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, to be honest with you, if there was ever a movie coming out of Hollywood, I wouldn't watch it unless I knew who was in it and somebody that I could trust. And there are a few actors out there that are solid, that have some sense about them. But most of you out there, including some of you in some of those sitcoms that became so, so famous, you people are disgusting. I'm ashamed to have ever watched anything with you in it because of the way you come out. You don't look past your face. You don't look in your own pasture. Oh, yeah, it's all Trump. When you were the people that were holding up the bloody stumps, you are the people every week on late night, and you were doing it the minute Trump got elected, you were bashing him and making fun of him. He started defending himself, and you morons were offended. Because, how dare he? He's not a politician. He don't care to be a politician. Politicians are what screwed up this nation in the first place. Politics is what screwed up the EU, matter of fact. And one of the biggest, Merkel, is right now having trouble because she was politically correct and let in way too many Muslim immigrants, among others. Politics stinks. And there's very few honest politicians out there. And as far as Hollywood goes, you know, Trump went up there to drain the swamp. And I think he did get some of it drained, but it's filling up quickly again. I don't know if there's ever a way anybody could ever drain the swamp. But one thing about it, he's scared the living hell out of the swamp, you know, Tower?
Yes, he has. I think it's funny.
And they just absolutely can't believe that he's still in there. And by the way, just like Trump Jr. tweeted, and a lot of the other of the family been saying, all you bunch of concerned leftists that were sent all these packages that didn't blow up, at least not yet. That doesn't mean they're not going to send some that'll blow up.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, at the rate they're going, it's going to happen. You can bank it. Hey, remember the Unabomber?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this isn't new. Sending packages? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I forgot about that, dude.
Or do you remember the mayor out there on the East Coast? Where was it? Washington, Portland, where was it? That a bunch of Antifa took over some of the offices there of the government, the federal government, and they called the cops, and the mayor had told them to stand down. That was in the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, no leftists came out, no liberals came out and said how terrible that was. You people have short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so nobody said anything when all the envelopes full of white powder showed up at the Trump family. You didn't even cover it except mock it and make fun of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, next time you want to cry in your beer, you know, I don't want to see you on my feed because, frankly, you're disgusting. And if you keep calling for war, be careful. Because you don't know. You might just get what you call for.
Yep.
And that's too bad. Because I've been warning and telling people they need to be civil. But even with this, I don't see civility. I see it very rarely. We are seeing a few voices trying to calm the waters, but nothing. Now, I did see a post today by a Republican who is a Kennedy, if you can believe that, in the GOP. And he came out, his name's, he came out today or whenever it was. I just seen it today. Speaking of the economy, quoting these last figures that came out, the best economy he's seen in 35 years.
Is he one of the Kennedys
the Kennedy family? I have no idea.
Huh.
I can't believe he would be because they're Catholic and dyed-in-the-wool Democrat.
Yeah.
Of course, the Democratic Party today is anything but Democrat. The Democrats have sold their souls to the devil and to anything goes in order to win. Which, if you go back to the Civil War and the early portion of this country, that's pretty much what it was about. It was the Republicans that wanted to free the slaves. It was the Democrats that wanted to keep them there. Because they did not want, remember, a lot of those Democratic senators down there wanted to keep power. So, at any rate, we're in the same stuff, different day.
Nothing's new under the sun.
Well, you know, the bottom line of it is that quote, you know, that I put in that article about Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very good quote.
Yes, it was.
And he wanted to make sure that he and the nation were on the Lord's side, not the Lord was on his side. The Lord's always on the side of right. He wanted to make sure that him and the nation was on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
We don't have people like that today, not many, especially as, you know, in the top ranks of our government.
That's for sure.
And it's too bad. You know, and you look at it, and, you know, we talk about this big, big caravan that's come up, but believe it or not, there's been a lot of organizations that have been working to allow people across the border, even while Trump's been there. And we've had the largest influx of immigrants right now in the last several months than we ever have. And right now, they were running out of room. An article that I read, they were running out of room to put them. And more's coming. And so something needs to be done. The Democrats don't seem to care, but they've already started saying some of the early things that in New York and in other places that are predominantly Democrat, they're seeing a lot of illegal voters that are on the register rolls.
How can they get away with that?
Don't ask me. So the bottom line of it is, and this is what I told Tara some time ago, and that is, you know, when it comes to winning, it depends upon if everybody fights fair. In other words, the Democrats have already come out and said, if you don't agree with this, it doesn't matter. You'll suffer the consequences. That's what you said. The Democrats.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have been on record as saying that you will allow every illegal to vote. California has already said that. So
they're just asking for trouble.
So the bottom line of it is that you are allowing people that aren't even citizens of our country to determine the fate of how this nation should be governed. That's what you're doing. That's treason in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But see, nobody will do anything and you'll get away with it. And, you know, really, I'm a firm believer what goes around comes around.
Yes, sir.
And if you're going to work to be divisive and cheatful and hateful and deceitful and treasonous, it'll come around. But it's not just going to be you that'll suffer. It'll be everybody in this country. And all the illegal aliens that are coming up, they're going to wind up getting killed. Why? Because judgment's going to hit here, and they're going to be among all the masses in the inner cities and down south when this thing hits. So
that'll truly be tragic.
You know, and it's not that I want to be depressing. But, you know, this nation is full of people that are blinded, and they're just flat dumb. Just dumb. So, it's too bad.
It is.
And that's the way it is. Nobody wants to listen. A few. We do have a few. But, you know, we have a lot of what I call a fairy tale Jesus and a sugar plum church. One of the chief pastors that represent that is Joel Osteen and his wife. That is a sugar plum Jesus and a fairy tale church.
Yes, it is.
And so, while you're whispering sweet nothings, churches, maybe you need to repent and get back into the Word of God and get the gospel going and preaching against sin and the redemptive part instead of picking the Bible apart and preaching psychology and feel-good sugar plum messages all the time. And writing books that are the same way that, of course, this is the way society is. This is how you became a millionaire, multimillionaire. And then, of course, there's Ken Copeland who preaches, you know, if you got a lot of money, that means God has blessed you. I don't have nothing against Ken or Joel. But I can tell you both of them, they have a lot of company. And I'm mentioning this tonight because it's high time the churches repent and get back in there. And a lot of people watch TBN. TBN was a whore before its founders died. They were whorish. CBN, hard to tell about them. And we can go right on down the list, but it's too bad. Because in the end, prosperity almost inevitably leads Christians into the pit of hell. Prosperity and ease, that's what got the children of Israel in trouble. So much so, they got into idolatry, putting their kids, killing their kids, throwing them in the fire to Baal. Well, we're not throwing our kids in the fire to Baal. You sure as hell are. Have you ever been in the mother's womb and had some doctor pull you apart or put acid on you or a saline solution to dissolve you? Or try to pull you out because you're not fully dead and then they kill you in the womb? Because see, that's what you have to do. You have to kill them in the womb. That's murder. But it makes the women feel good because they can go back out, many of them, and just have more sex. And if they get knocked up again, go back and have it done again. Planned Parenthood had made millions and millions and millions of dollars sacrificing to Baal. And it's no different today. And it's a sad fact today that this country, you think it's going to last forever, and you're fighting over and disgusted because of Donald Trump. You are so pathetic. It's a lot more than Donald Trump. He is not perfect, I agree. But I'm telling you, the way you people are throwing stones at him, it's as if you think you don't live in a glass house. And let me tell you something, America is that glass house, and not one of you in this country have a right to throw a stone. For the Lord said it well when he looked to the Pharisees. He said, "He that without sin, let him cast the first stone." And the first to leave was some of the aged, the senior members, the older Jews who knew exactly what he was talking about. So they left. Too bad you can't hear it. This is a lesson in being pathetic 101. Oh, America. And we talk about the EU. So at any rate, anything else we got to talk about besides...
No, not that I'm aware of.
We are going to be in the apocalypse, and guess what? Tonight we're going to be doing the letters to the churches.
That'll be good.
Oh, goody, goody. Good grief. You know, people like prophecy, and they like a lot of things. And everybody thinks they're fine. One thing about it, when this thing starts going down, you begin to see the fire of God on top of Sinai, you're going to have the bejesus scared out of you, and you're going to say, "Let him not speak to us. Go speak to the prophets and then speak to us." It'll be too late then, because the fire of Almighty God is going to burn its way through your soul. Don't wait too long. Woe unto thee, O harlot, O whore. And I ain't talking to the women who are whores. You need to repent and go find your Savior. Or the men who are whores, there's a lot of them. Or the idolaters, or the fornicators, or whatever else you may be. Get in there and repent, because there's no reason for you to be judged and found guilty, for Christ died for your sins. So at any rate, we need to proceed. So I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Okay,
you got anything?
Nope, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are in chapter 2. And we talked about the prophetic order. And the prophetic order is actually mentioned in the Old Testament, where the Lord tells them that he would do nothing except first he would tell the prophets, who would then tell Israel. That's the prophetic order, from the Lord to the prophets to Israel. Today it's from the Lord, the Alpha and Omega, who is the one in charge of all the churches, all the pastors, all everything, everywhere within his church. He's also the beginning and the end of all creation. And whatever he has to say goes from him to the prophets, to the people. Now, it doesn't go to the pastors. It goes to the prophets. Sometimes you don't have a prophet around, so God will use who he can use. A prophet is one specific office. A pastor is another. A teacher, another. Etc. And so, in Revelation, we have our chief. The president in charge of everything. And he's looking over everything. He has conquered death, the grave, the devil, every principality and power that there is. In Revelation 1, he calls himself the Almighty. And he's someone you don't argue with. And now, he's going to be talking to, in Revelation 2, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira. Now, in Ephesus, it was known as the metropolitan or the metropolis of Asia. It was also the place where they had the goddess Diana and the silver makers. And when Paul and the boys went in there, people got saved, so they got rid of their idols of silver, and it made them mad, and so it was a mess. But Paul got out of it, and one of the best letters we have now is to Ephesus. So if you were a Roman coming from Italy and Rome, and you were going to go to Asia or something, you would cross and stop at Ephesus, because that was the metropolis. It had a lot of commerce there. And of course, St. Paul founded that church about 55 AD. And Ephesians was written about 63 AD. So, Revelation 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So we have the seven stars, the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So you have the church itself with the people, all of them together. And we're not talking about bricks and stones here. A church can meet under a tree. A church can meet by a pond, by a creek, in a mountain cave, or in one of our fancier abodes we have in America. Fancy. Just so fancy you wouldn't believe it. Everything is done in order, and our pastors look like heads of state, the president of the corporation and its board of directors, along with the stockholders who are the congregation. And a lot of times we know how to make lots of money and have religion and welcome people, and we want them to feel comfortable, and we don't want anybody to be convicted of sin. But that's the very reason the Holy Spirit came. Not just to comfort, but to convict of sin. So we're looking at a scene here. At the beginning, John wasn't going to die until he had this revelation. So the Lord himself in charge gave it to his prophet John, who in turn wrote it down, and we are reading it today, so that we might be informed. Now the Lord is not going to beg you. He's already stretched out his arms and died on the cross and gave his life for you. He gave everything that he could give. He was the Word incarnate. And he holds the seven stars. Now you could call them the pastors. You can call them a literal angel that's in charge over there with all the churches. And I can tell you right now that every group of believers, every congregation does have angels that are there all the time. And there is, as we can see with Daniel, there's always those angels that are assigned specific places. And so he holds the seven stars, the seven angels, those in charge of the message that flows down from heaven, through the angelic messengers into even the pastor, who could also be called that anointed one. He too is held in the hands of the Lord. And he's the one that gives the message. But see, sometimes we have churches that don't have and is not part of the seven stars nor of the seven golden candlesticks because the pastor is a hireling. And in the time of trouble, he will flee and leave the flock. He's one that bears tares instead of wheat. Weeds instead of fruit. Hatred instead of love. And see, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches, and seven here being a perfect number does not represent just the seven churches in Asia. But the greater picture here is that the Lord, the Alpha and Omega, walks in the midst of all the churches. And many scholars, when they look at this over time, have always looked at this, the seven churches representing, we've had them bringing out, representing seven different dispensations where the church was at, and also seven different kinds of Christians. And you can even take the Laodicean church and put it in our dispensation today. Because within that one, we'll talk about that later, that fits this society. But there are others of these churches that fit society too. So when I look at the seven, the different churches, I look at churches that these are the whole that can be found within the Church of God today, the one that's on fire, the one that's persecuted, etc. Now in verse 2, I know appears in all seven of these letters to the churches. And he goes on to say in verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. See, you have a church of people that have worked. They've had patience in the midst of persecution. And they did things in the name of the Lord, and they never fainted. In other words, from the outside, you could look at these people and you would say, this is a church on fire. Because you would read the Word of God, you would take care of people, you would have patience, you would labor in the name of the Lord, you won't quit, you're working. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, except in verse 4 it says, I have somewhat against thee because you have left thy first love. Now see, within this context, you're working, but who are you working for? And if you've left the first love, then your work is not in that full gamut of love as the Lord is. Because in order to have that, you need to have the love in your heart. You need to have him in your heart, first up, first in charge, one right there of whom you know personally. So when you labor, you do so in love in his name. So this is a church that has been faithful, but they left somewhere along the line. Maybe the labor became rote. Just doing the same thing all the time. Just after a while it gets boring. After a while you don't know what you're doing. You know, just before you know it, you're just doing it. You're going to church on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday or Thursday nights or whenever it is. You're going to every evangelist meeting. But there's still something missing. You have a job. You work hard. You know, you raise your kids. And before you know it, you get older and you're still doing the same thing. I remember talking to a particular woman when her and her husband was visiting us. And I was telling her about how we came to know the Lord and being born again. You know, I can still tell you the exact spot. I could show it to you. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. And she says, I've been in the church all my life. I've never had an experience like that. Well, see, before that happened, I had been in the Methodist Church all my life. My family had been in the Methodist Church. I could have kept it up the rest of my life, but somehow God got me out of the Methodist Church, began dealing with me, and somewhere down the road, out in the middle of nowhere. And it wasn't easy. There was trouble. There was problems. And Tower, she can tell you where she came to know the Lord. And when we came to Casper, I knew ahead of time where we were to go to church. And it was a great church, a fellowship. I'm not against churches. If you have the kind of church we had. But you got to be careful because you have a lot of churches and a lot of hirelings. You need someone in the Spirit, someone that knows what they're talking about. You need someone that's truthful, a true shepherd. Our pastor was a true shepherd. And we left there to go in the ministry along with a lot of other couples. That's the kind of church it was. It produced people for the ministry automatically. I mean, it just, he was doing it before we got there. But you see, you can fall into that. And this is what Ephesus. Now see, they had the goddess Diana there. They had a lot of opposition. Any of the churches that would have been on fire there
you know, they would have had opposition. Not just from the Jews who didn't like Paul starting churches and having this little relationship with the Jewish Messiah, but the real pagans, the ones that served the idols, and like the goddess Diana. And so it says here, remember therefore from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Now see, the first works was believing and falling in love with the Lord and having that love that was on fire. Because nobody's going to be justified just by mere works or by the law. Now Jesus, Yeshua, fulfilled the law. That's very important in our redemption, is the law. The law also stands as a guard, and it tells us what is allowable and what is not allowable. And as Paul said, the law is for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. The righteous are supposed to be walking in truth with the Lord. And so here, to Ephesus, here is a church that had labored for the name of the Lord. They had not fainted. But because they lost their first love for the Lord, think about that. He says, you better remember where you're fallen and repent. You get back to doing the first works, or I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. In other words, the Lord will no longer be in the midst of you. They'll be no longer have the salvation and the redemption and the gospel in your midst. It'll be just mere religion. Everything will be removed. You will not have that redemption. You'll be like Shiloh, which became Ichabod. And see, this church here, Ephesus, represents what I believe to be one that would aptly describe the whore church. One that lost their first love, and they can even be busy doing things, but their love went to somebody else or something else. Ephesus. One of the best epistles we have in the Bible. Now, you see, there is a caveat here that you cannot miss. When we talk about the candlestick being removed, remember within the church, see, we've got conflicting modern ideas here. We think of churches. We think of a building with a name on it, the First Church of Ephesus. And so all of a sudden when the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'm going to take away your candlestick, so it's no longer the First Church of Ephesus. It's just a group of people in Ephesus who has a religion. You know, you lose your denominational status. But that's not what this is about. See, the church is not the church. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Under the church at Ephesus. Now there's a lot of churches in Ephesus. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. And there's a group of people within that, but each one of them have their own fire, their own candlestick. So not all of them are going to lose their candlestick. I can guarantee you not all of them will repent. Very unusual. A lot of them will think that they're doing fine. you can say the church at Casper. We've got a bunch of churches at Casper. But we also have a bunch of ecclesia at Casper, which are the called out ones. They are the church, not the denominations. And the only reason you have any kind of a fire within the church at all is because, as the Lord said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So when you cease to meet in his name, when you cease to have him on the inside, your candlestick is gone. So when we say the only church threatened with the removal of candlestick, it is the member who loses his first love and doesn't repent will have the candlestick removed, the oil will be removed, and they will be anathema from their Lord. But even this is not the final story, because God even then will work to bring them back, if at all possible. But this you have, he says, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And make no mistake, at Ephesus there were a group of people, and they met, and this was sent to them. But don't lose the greater picture here, because it's not the church, it is the church within the church. The ecclesia within the church. The ones that he died for, the ones that he has redeemed, the ones that he has loved, he's calling to them. And he wants them to turn around and go back when they first came to him and remember that love, remember that relationship, and come unto him. And repent. And get that first love fire in your heart again. That's what he's telling them. But he does have a caveat here too. He says, but this, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. There's a bunch of these kind of people. Nicolaitans, there's a lot of names for people that are false teachers and people that misinterpret things. See, you have the Nicolaitans, you have, and Balaam is well known for all of his stuff. And he's mentioned Revelation 2:14, Jezebel's Revelation 2:20. But everybody should know who Jezebel is. And when we talk about Jezebel, we have a bunch of Jezebels in America today and around the world. Women who have become Jezebel, just like Jezebel. Well, that isn't nice. Well, there is. You don't like it? Don't talk to me. Get in the Word of God. Women are Jezebels. And men, they should be the leaders. They should be the priests and leading their families and others unto the Lord. But many are not, and the judgment is on them. Now see, the problem we have with these groups, and there's a couple of things that you're looking at. Number one, that the Christian is above the moral law. And the reason they're above the moral law is because of the interpretation of this whole thing when we talk about redemption. The other thing is the fact that we are, our bodies are flesh, and that which gets redeemed is the spirit on the inside. Because this body that we're in is just the housing, it's the temple. And we are in the inside. That is the part that lives forever. And Christ redeems it and touches it, and you will be given a new body. But this body of death has to be put off. But see, before Christ, when you put off this body of death, there was no hope, really. There was no redeemer like that. Now, after Christ, there is a redeemer. And so when you put off this body of death, because you have received him, and you have believed as Abraham believed, it's imputed unto you for righteousness' sake, and so when you die, you're forgiven and redeemed. Now see, there became a teaching within all of that, that you can do anything that you want to, because that won't have any effect on your soul. It's just your body that you sin and not your soul, which is a total ludicrous. That's dumb, but that's... And so they found out a way to teach people that you can be a Christian and you can do all of these sensual, fleshly things, moral immorality. It's moral because, you know, you're a Christian and your spirit is untouched, but it's immorality in the fact that you are doing immorality and it really does affect your soul. In history itself, Nicolaitans per se really don't have a lot of record on this. Tradition tells you a lot. And Nicolaitans occurs where it is here and in Revelation 2:15. But this has to do with indulgences, sexual immorality. And Paul warned about this in the Love Feast, how the people were carrying on. And he talked specifically to Corinth. There was a lot of idolatry going on in Corinth. But a lot of things, and this is something that was a, you got within the Roman Empire. They had a lot of feasts to idols. And these feasts would go on, and they would be full of wine and drink and sex and partying, and they would just party and party and party and party. And then, of course, when we had the Love Feast of the Christians, that got out of hand too. So this is the excesses that the Lord is talking about, the teachings of specific groups that have totally distorted the gospel. And so he says something that he says all the time in this relationship. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now that's promised to all believers. And so we're dealing with the basis of the basics of believers here. You're going to get the reward, which everybody's going to get. And if you don't repent and do what you said, you're not going to get to eat of the tree of life. You're not going to enter into the paradise of God because you're going to be cast into perdition. And again, the onus is not on the Lord to hear what he's saying. The onus is on you to have an ear that's willing to hear. See, and this is something that you can even find in the Gospels. There were those that didn't have an ear to hear. There was a lot of Pharisees that followed the Lord around all over the place and tried to find fault with him. And they wanted to listen, but they listened for one reason, to entrap him. And even today we have people that will listen to someone preaching or listening to the gospel only to find out the fault, to have issue. This says, if you want to know the truth, have an ear that's willing to hear what I'm telling you, and don't come here with this kind of an attitude trying to find problems, but understand that this is my love for you. I'm trying to tell you, you need to listen. So hear what I'm saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Having ears to hear. We live in a society today that doesn't have an ear to hear. And really, you can see it on play in our social media. I hate our social media. I even hate the internet. I use it for this purpose. But I hate the internet. It's one of the worst things. It has destroyed society. Now, it's brought society together in that we can track persecution of Christians. We can get the word in places we couldn't before. But overall, it has disassociated human beings from personal contact. It's made it easier for deception to come in. And it's destroyed interpersonal relations. Absolutely. Not to mention the other horrific things that it does. Because it allows people that do evil to gather together and plot evil easier. Just as it's good for us to gather Christians together and preach the things of God, or to even fellowship on a Facebook page or wherever we're at, it allows people that do evil to do the same thing and to plot consummate evil and get away with it. And they can get them all at the place at the same time because of technology, the internet, smartphones, tablets. And while you're heralding the praise of robots and all of our technology, it is dismantling you as a human being that God intended. And by the time the devil's done, he will have most of the world following him. And the wrath of God will hit. But that doesn't go without saying that there will be a lot that will know the truth. I said he would have the nations. I didn't say that he would have everybody. Because people will know the truth. Ephesians. Unless you repent, you will perish. You have to repent. And if you do, I'll give you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, the midst of. That's everybody. If you're a Christian, you'll be able to do that. If you're a believer. Smyrna. This is one of those churches that you can call the persecuted church. Be faithful unto death. Smyrna was, or is, I should say, and Smyrna really continues to flourish today. And it was at one time, I don't know what it's like today, but it was one of the most beautiful cities in Asia. And when they planned this particular city in the beginning, a couple of architects, Antigonus, and Lysimachus, when they put this city together, they forgot the drains. So when the floods came, there was nowhere for the water to go. And of course, living where we do today, we do know what it's like to have streets that becomes open sewers or floods. In any city, you need to have drains. And it was probably because of people like these who forgot that. Didn't realize the importance that most cities today work on making sure their drain system is the best and the sewer. Smyrna itself was very faithful to Rome. And this was during a time that Mithridates, they chose Rome against him, and Rome gave him privileges. And then later on, when Caesar was assassinated, who had taken refuge there, the city suffered heavily because they were going after Caesar. Now, the first bishop of Smyrna was Saint Polycarp. You remember Polycarp. He's the one that when he was with all the others that were going to get martyred, they said, give us a sign that it doesn't hurt, you know, that you're able to make it through.
You've passed the first hour.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to go. I'll do this, and then I'll end this in a minute or two. Smyrna was destroyed by an earthquake in 178 AD and then built again by Marcus Aurelius, you know, the Roman Empire. It's always had a problem with earthquakes, fires, and pestilences, but, you know, it continues to flourish today. You can find Smyrna. And so when we start the second hour, I'll be at verse 8 of Revelation 2. And, boy, that's hard to believe that yeah, well, that happens. You just get carried away looking at the Word. And I love the Word. See, we're not the first ones to have trouble. You had believers before you. They had basically the same stuff. The Lord will get us through this. But truthfully, people, if there's ever a time for you to seek the Lord, it's now. Fall in love with Him again. Repent continually. Pray for others all the time. And believe that no matter what happens, He will get you through this. We'll be back. This is the end of first hour. In about 4 minutes, we'll be back with hour two. And it will be less than an hour, but we call it hour two. We'll see you on the other side. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.